Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In Christ Jesus, the virgin-born Son and the Son of the Highest, true God and true man in one person, dear fellow redeemed. So will you listen carefully to the greeting that you just heard? Let me repeat it. In Christ Jesus, the virgin-born Son of God, and the Son of the Highest, both true God and true man in one person. Simple enough words, and yet that is incomprehensible. It is something that is unreasonable to the human mind and to the intellect of mankind. The only way that you could say yea and amen to those words is with a heart of faith. And that's our main thought this morning, the word believe. So, once again, like last Sunday, we're going to divide our sermon into three parts, and each part we'll be reading together. So let's rise and join together in reading the first part of our sermon text, Luke 1, verses 26 to 30, on the front page of your bulletin. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." You may be seated. Here he comes. Believe. Believe that God is at work in your life, bringing you closer to him with his blessings. It's absolutely fascinating to see how God's Advent preparations unfold in the Gospel of Luke. Even though they're not aware of it, God has all the right people in all the right places at exactly the right time for his promised salvation to accomplish. Last Sunday, we heard about the aged priest Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth, who in their old age would have the miracle conception and give birth to a son who would be the forerunner of the Savior. This morning we're introduced to a young maiden lady, a virgin named Mary. At this moment in her life, she does not suspect anything about the great things that would happen to her, nor does her fiancé, Joseph. It's only the all-knowing, all-seeing God who makes sure that they are exactly where they need to be, even as he planned it from eternity. Mary and Joseph were very important parts of God's preparations for the coming of the Savior, the Messiah. Even as he chose other unsuspecting characters, such as the high priest Caiaphas and the Roman governor Pontius Pilate and the Roman soldiers, in the accomplishing the fulfillment of our Savior's coming. So now he chooses these two for the birth of our Savior. But why these two? Why Mary and Joseph? Well, there's one answer. God's grace. His undeserved love. Of course, they had to be Jewish people. They had to be coming from the family of David, because that was prophesied of many years ago in the Old Testament. But why this one Jewish young lady, this virgin Mary? I'm sure there were many virgins throughout Israel from the line of David. Well, so again to what the angel said to Mary. "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she, Mary, saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Two significant facts are being told Mary in this greeting of the angel. The first is this: don't be afraid, Mary. The Lord is with you. The second fact is, you are one who is favored by God. This greeting Mary needed. But just like Zacharias, Mary, who was a sinful person, was now standing before this righteous, holy, perfect creature of God, and her heart and her mind was troubled, filled with fear. And so the angel said, "Mary, don't be afraid. The Lord is not against you. The Lord is with you. You are favored by God. God looked down upon this humble, lowly servant of his, this repentant child of God, and bestowed upon her miraculous blessings that would change her life forever." This would be Mary's greatest calling. Not only to just be a mother, but to be the mother of the Son of God. The mother of the Savior of the world. The mother of her own Savior. What a responsibility. What a joy. What a privilege. But you know that you and I also fit into God's eternal plan of salvation? He's also called you and me, just like he called Mary and Joseph to faith. He chose us to be his sons and his daughters through faith in Jesus. He's placed us just at the right places, just at the right times, so he could put his saving will into action in your lives and in mine. For some of us, he gave us godly Christian parents who brought us the Word of God as infants, taught us the Word of God when we were little children, brought us to Sunday school, maybe a Christian day school. For others of us, maybe it was a Christian friend that introduced us to Jesus and brought us the Word. Maybe for others of us, it was a Christian spouse that told us about Jesus and led us to him. Maybe the Lord used some great disaster, disability, or depression to crush us and lead us to fall on our knees, and then with his law, condemn us and convict us of our sins, so he realized that we were lost and condemned, and then he rushed in with the gospel message of forgiveness, assuring us of everlasting life and blessings and strength to endure. Nothing in life, in the life of a child of God, happens by chance or by fate or by accident. As if God's caught off guard, he doesn't know what's happening to us. In all the experiences, in all the conditions, in all the occasions in our life, God is at work in our lives, making sure that what happens to us is always for our eternal well-being, for our eternal welfare, accomplishing his will for our salvation. What a remarkable greeting Mary received from this angel. Have you ever wondered about the greetings that God sometimes gives to you? Sometimes they may be pretty surprising, maybe kind of troubling, maybe downright unpleasant. The Lord's greetings to us may at times be works of discipline, an injury, an illness, maybe disappointment, maybe a financial loss, maybe pain, sorrow, grief. Or maybe they may be money blessings and happiness and joy. The Lord's intention is always to favor us with his blessings, to make sure that we put away our fears, and to lead us through his word, first of all, to repent of our sins, and then to be assured of forgiveness and to receive his promises. This greeting that Mary gave, that the angel gave to Mary, she said, changed her whole life. Well, the message God brings to you, I have sent my Son to live for you, to die for you, to rise again for you, and to someday come again to take you to be with him forever in heaven, has been brought into our hearts and has changed our lives forever. If we but hear his word, as Mary did, we'll find in him, by the power of the word, to cast away our fears, to get rid of our doubts, and to place all of our sins upon our Savior. Let's join in reading our second portion of our sermon, verses 31 to 38. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, How can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren, for with God nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. You may be seated. If Mary thought the angel's greeting was troubling, what about the angel's message? And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Wow. A very logical question for Mary was this. How can this be, since I do not know a man? In other words, I'm not married. I've had no sexual relations with any man. How am I going to conceive and give birth to a baby boy? The angel answers in such a matter-of-fact way. God has his ways. Just watch and be amazed. And says, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. In a few simple words, the angel describes one of the greatest events, one of the greatest miracles this world has ever seen. God taking on human flesh and blood. The Son of God becoming a human being. Isn't it ironic in so many great religions of our day, Hinduism and Buddhism and the New Age movement, people are trying to become gods to enter into their nirvana. And here, in the real, only true religion, it is God who became a human being, like us, to take our place, to be our substitute, to save us. So what does Mary do when she hears this astounding, unbelievable news? With childlike, simple yet profound faith, she says, Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. How is that possible for Mary to accept the Lord's will so quickly? And not to say, but how, but why, but when? Well, how could she completely accept God's will? Was it because she remembered about her cousin Elizabeth and the miracle conception that she had in her old age? Well, that was proof. But that's not conviction. Conviction can only come from the Word of God. She was convinced that God could do anything. For with God, the angel said, nothing will be impossible. And she believed that. So, here he comes. Believe. Believe that God is in control, ruling and guiding all things according to his will. The spirit that led Mary to believe that statement, is it the same spirit that lives in our heart? Do we believe that? So easy in these days of preparation for Christmas to get so busy with so many things and so many activities that so often settle upon self, our plans, our wants, our needs, our Christmas lists, our concerns. We need God's messengers to continue to point us, to focus upon the Advent preparation that is the most important. The same person whom the angel was focusing Mary's eyes and hearts upon, that the Word of God focuses on, and that is Jesus. His name is above every other name, Paul says in Philippians 2. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. His rule in our hearts through faith is the whole reason for this season and should be the whole purpose for all that we say and all that we think and all that we do in this life. And we wonder, how can it be done? How can God do what he has promised to us? The word comes to us and simply says, wait, watch, and believe. And that same word to the Spirit gives the power to be able to do just that. To wait on the Lord. To watch for the Lord. And to believe all his promises. He planned our salvation. He brought it into effect. He's in control of all of history. He'll govern it according to his will for our welfare, for our benefit, for the blessings of his children. In God's mind, the answer to every single problem in our life, to every single circumstance in our life, to every single situation in our life is simple. It's Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, only Jesus. And for our part, we're simply to focus our hearts, our attention, not on the questions of how, but on the question of who. Focus our heart where it belongs, on the Holy Child of Bethlehem, the one who was born for you and for me, fulfilled all our promises. Now, there are times in our life when we see very clearly through events God's great love for us and the power that he has, like hearing Elizabeth, an aged lady, a cousin to Mary, conceiving. But most often, God simply says, take me at my word. Trust me when I say to you, I will accomplish this, or I have done this, that I love you with an everlasting love. Be still and know that he is God. Trust and believe. The angel departed from Mary, but the promise did not. Let's read together the third portion of our sermon text, Luke 1, 39-45. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then he spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, The babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. May be seated. Mary could have spent her time waiting for the promise of the angel to be fulfilled, tending to her own concerns, but she didn't. She with haste went to the hills outside of Jerusalem to go and visit her cousin Elizabeth. Not just to tell her good news and to hear from her Elizabeth's good news, but to serve her elderly cousin who now was going to be enduring this pregnancy. That's the last point of our three parts to our sermon this morning. Believe that our true calling as servants of the Lord is to be of service to others. Mary would go on to be of service to her cousin Elizabeth, actually also receive more from the Lord. For as soon as she greeted her cousin Elizabeth, the babe, John the Baptist, leaped in Elizabeth's womb, and Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit, and she said to her, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Mary was the expectant mother of the Messiah. John, in the presence, the forerunner of the Savior, leaped for joy in Elizabeth's womb. Mary was the most favored of women. There are two Greek words for the word bless. One Greek word means to speak well of. Therefore, it has a meaning to praise, to receive favor, or to consecrate, set apart. The other Greek word for bless means to be happy or fortunate, like in the Beatitudes, blessed are they, the meek, and so forth. Elizabeth, in saying this to Mary, blessed are you among women, is using the first word. Favored are you, consecrated are you. You're set apart from women because now you were the one chosen to be the mother of the child. And then she says, blessed is the fruit of your womb, speaking of Jesus. There she's using the term in the sense of praise be the fruit of your womb. That's the Savior himself. Then the last verse of this of Elizabeth speaking of Mary, she says, blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. And here Elizabeth uses the second meaning for blessed, happy, fortunate are you. So she's saying, happy are you, Mary, because you received this wonderful blessing from the Lord. So in these words of Elizabeth, he's not saying that Mary is somehow perfect or righteous or holy, but she's a favored one. She's received God's favor. And she is extremely happy because of all these blessings that God has chosen especially for her. Someone has said that faith shared is faith increased. And faith increased is faith shared. Mary shared her faith and her joy with her cousin Elizabeth and then increased her faith. Elizabeth would not have proclaimed these words to Mary had Mary not come and visit with her. And Mary would never have proclaimed her words of the Magnificat, which we'll be listening to next Sunday, had Elizabeth not responded to Mary's greeting. What a final lesson we have for all of us as we prepare for the Christmas season. It's very easy, as we said, for us to get so busy with our plans, with our preparations, with our families, with all our activities, even for ourselves, that we virtually ignore other people. Mary showed her concern, even with this joy of her own pregnancy coming upon her, to share her time and her energy with her elderly cousin. She shared her joy and her faith with her. May we be true servants of the Lord by sharing our time and our energy and our goods with those who are in need. physically, giving to those who are needy, giving of our time, helping them out. Find someone we can help out during this Advent season, but also especially spiritually, speaking to them about Jesus. Send out spiritual Christmas cards, calling and greeting people in a spiritual way, coming caroling next Sunday to those who are in the nursing homes. One of the simple things that I've done for the last few years is I've never seen my newspaper delivery man. It's the same guy who's been here for 11 years. He comes between 3 and 5 in the morning, so I never see him. But every year, I put a little gift in his mailbox or the newspaper box with a religious spiritual card and give him a message about Jesus and how he saved us from our sins. I do the same thing to the mailman, and I don't know his name either. May you also choose one person, or maybe several people, during this Advent season to whom you'll proclaim the Christmas gospel. Be either speaking directly to them, by sending them a message, maybe giving them a gift that reminds them or tells them that Jesus is the reason for the season, that he's the purpose why we're doing all of this celebrating and all of this gift giving. That is, after all, our purpose for being here on this earth, telling others. So may we not be found this Advent season just preparing ourselves for Christmas, and that's very, very important that we do that, but also helping others prepare for a proper Christmas celebration, especially if we know they don't know Jesus, sharing our faith and our joy with them. For then the receiver becomes the giver, and the giver becomes the receiver. Sharing one's faith is as simple as that. Here he comes. Believe. Believe that God is in your life, bringing you closer to him with his many blessings. Believe that God is in control, ruling and guiding all things according to his will. And believe that our true calling as servants of the Lord is to serve others. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.